BlakeRadio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Weren't tired of this song as Monday Night Raw was on, you get to hear it one last time. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on MileTalkRadio.com. Presented as always by PW Mania, MMLanePromos.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
That was awkward.
I got nothing. I'm trying to send something to Kane Kittens. Hi, Lily.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody in the chat room and the tumblers and all that fun stuff. Hope you're all enjoying the banter before the show. And now on the show, as we have lots and lots to get into on an interesting edition of Monday Night Raw, which included returns, heel turns, musical performances, and a whole lot of "I'm gonna look like I'm gonna slap you upside the head."
No, it's more like a whole lot of sass.
That works as well. The show opened with the Authority returning from their 1 week vacation. They basically said, with the Authority not bothering to put anyone in charge last week, it caused chaos, and Hunter basically, proved that you need good authority to control the chaos, and there's just too much of it, and the people who've been, they've been avoiding them all day with Brad Maddox and Vicky Guerrero, and they will be dealt with tonight. But Stephanie said they are incredibly well rested and they are back. Then out came Randy Orton. He had a mad, really, really big mad.
Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm. He said they can blame everyone else for last week, but they're the ones who didn't spell out who should be in charge while they were gone. And they are the ones who caved in and gave Big Show a title shot that he didn't deserve. And they are the ones who let Big Show chokeslam him through the table last Monday night. And they should be protecting the most valuable asset. Not CM Punk, not John Cena, but him. So basically, Randy Orton's putting the blame on the Authority. And Stephanie sort of agreed, you're probably right. Orton said he's too injured to beat Big Show by himself on Sunday, so what are they going to do about it? Is he going to have some help? Orton and Hunter got face-to-face, and Stephanie calmed them to calm down a little bit. And then we hear this really silent, "Excuse me?"
Oh, no, it wasn't even silent. It was just a week. It was, yeah, I'm here, but I'm not here, and I'm not going to avoid it any longer.
"Excuse me?" Out came Vicky and Brad, and you know, they were looking, you know, really, really sad, and they don't want to, you know, take the brunt of what the authority is going to deliver. And basically Brad said, it's all Vicky's fault. Hunter said it doesn't matter whose fault it is because they're going to pay. And then Stephanie added, since they both booked so many handicap matches last week, they forget what how tough it is to actually get into the ring. Well, they will be in action tonight, said Stephanie, as they booked Vicky Guerrero against AJ Lee. Then Hunter picked up the mic and said, you know, even though, you know, Brad was blaming Vicky, Brad will be in action as well, and as he is dressed as now, he will take on Randy Orton. And just to make things fair, it will be no DQ. And then Brad Maddox sort of walked away, and out came Kane, who, well, made sure Brad didn't go anywhere.
Pretty much, yeah. In his nice gray suit. And that was the only bit we saw of Kane tonight.
That was the only segment for Kane tonight. Unless he was on the app.
I don't know if he was on the app, but yeah, that probably meant Kane got in his car and he drove home.
He was like, I'm done.
So I'm good. I'm done. I did my bid.
So it was an interesting opening to Monday Night Raw. Authority was back, setting the rules for the night.
It was a very interesting. My only qualm with the segment, Randy, honey, learn your lines. Seriously, learn your damn lines. It's not that hard.
Who are you talking to?
A WWE champion in the face of the WWE. And you kind of saw Hunter pause for a minute.
Anyway.
And he's like,
and what you meant to say was,
like, you know, you're supposed to say the authority or, you know, whatever. And Hunter basically had to cover for Randy's flub, which credit to Hunter, he covered for it. Because he's like, I think you mean this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awful. It left me a little confused, this segment, because it's like, okay, we knew Brad and Vicky were going to get it. Which is setting up for them to obviously be removed from power, because Brad will get his, Vicky will get hers, probably on SmackDown, and that will set it up potentially for Kane to take over. I'm surprised there wasn't more Kane. I'm surprised there wasn't them talking to him about it, unless he just came forward beforehand.
Maybe, as we usually do, get answers Wednesday on the WWE.com exclusive interview with Triple H.
Maybe. I don't know. Here's hoping.
Here is hoping. So we get Randy Orton and Brad Maddox as our opening contest. As we sat around thinking, how are they going to help the talent who worked for 2 weeks? You put Brad Maddox in the ring. And, you know, he ran away from Orton for a while, then he actually got the upper hand by using a microphone and, you know, a DDT at one point to Randy Orton in the ring. Orton kicked out, and then, well, that was the end for Brad Maddox. He got destroyed. DDT onto the floor by Orton off the barricade, got thrown into the over the announce desk, and then just bludgeoned with the microphone in the ring.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there was one point where Brad got the upper hand, and you're like, run, you fool! Just run!
You got him down, just run away.
Yeah, just run, dude. Get out of the ring. It's like, rule number one, if you get him down, don't let him get back up.
Yeah. So, Orton wins by knockout. I suppose that's the ruling of the match. Orton really was aggressive with that microphone. Really aggressive.
Yeah, at some point they could have actually killed that mic, since it was live pretty much the entire time, and so all you're hearing is thunk, 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 thunk. It's like, come on. Can you kill the mic, please?
We got some more a video clip of Miranda Lambert and Keith Urban.
I will say this, for the music choices, because they did several of these, they had some good taste in music choices tonight.
They did. We got the Survivor Series hype because on the pre-show, The all-star panel will be Mick Foley, Booker T, and Bret the Hitman Hart. Because nothing says Survivor Series without Bret Hart.
Somewhere Tim Stein went,
yeah, so Bret Hart's at Survivor Series in Boston. So there you go. As we came back from break, Brad Maddox was stretchered out of the building. And it rolled by Vicky, and she was like, I'm gonna be screwed.
Yeah, Vicky's face in the crowd laughing at her when they saw her face was hilarious.
Yeah. Up next, Intercontinental Championship, Curtis Axel, Big E Langston. They did actual introductions.
They did.
Actual.
It actually had a
professional
big match
introductions, yeah. Good match between the two. Had good chemistry. Big splash by Big E, the big ending. Straps came down. New Intercontinental Champion.
Ito, totally okay with this. Completely and totally.
The crowd got behind Big E, and he picked up the win. Gets his first championship in WWE. Sorry, Curtis.
Yay, Curtis. Sorry. You tried.
You tried.
One thing I will say is I really liked for Curtis is that when he came out, he had zero fucks to give. Like, just zero. He's just like, yeah, I'm still the Intercontinental Champion, baby, for 5 more minutes. But you know what? I'm going to own it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, there you go, Curtis. Get down with your bad self. There you go.
Backstage, Randy Orton is in the training room. And, you know, he was arguing, you know, where were the Shield? Where were the Shield? The Shield should have his back, per the authority. And then you had the Roman Reigns out back there. And he said, you know, basically said, you know, you heard the authority, you know, you should have my back. And Roman basically said, yeah, we'll have your back if you have ours. That's pretty much what happened there.
You know, except for Dean giving Randy the sassiest damn looks I've ever seen him give somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And Seth couldn't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what was amazing. Like, Seth and Dean were amazing, and then there's just Roman. Who's just Roman and is great. By the way, happy anniversary to the Shield. 1 year.
Shield-iversary. Trending.
It's the Shield-iversary, y'all.
Trending. Worldwide. Twitter. Then we had Divas Musical Chairs. Alright. People were complaining, and rightfully so, complaining about it. It only lasted like a minute. Thankfully. This is not the first time they've done musical chairs with Divas, or musical chairs in general on Raw. Chris Jericho's won one. Yeah, I think, was it Chris Jericho or was it Eugene? Either one.
I think it was Eugene.
Jericho was involved. So it was Ric Flair. That was a funny one. Basically, Natty was eliminated first. Something's done in the oven.
I just killed my icing.
ding! Natty was eliminated. Ding!
Pretty much, yeah.
Alicia Fox got eliminated. And then it was all out. Hey, we're going to fight. And it was R.
Pretty much, yeah.
As I said as we were watching, here's the setup for our tag match at Survivor Series. And it sort of was.
And it sort of was, yeah.
Wagon Wheel by Darius Rucker was one of the other ones.
Okay, hold on. Let me rant on this, because again, it just kind of points out the ineffectiveness of Eva Marie. Why? Why do you keep putting her on TV? Why do you keep putting her in matches? Why? She's completely ineffective. She can't do anything. The woman has a personality of a carrot.
She'll be in the ring this Sunday. So will JoJo.
I'm actually curious. curious to see what JoJo can do, because we haven't seen anything from JoJo yet.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really very curious to see what JoJo can do.
And if you would like our thoughts on what happened on Total Divas from this past Sunday, tune into the Rack Extra this week on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com, as we'll be recording it tomorrow.
Yes.
So they played more music. We then had Big Show versus the Ryback. Alright. Big Show's the number one contender for the WWE Championship, right?
Supposedly.
Why did he almost get destroyed by Ryback?
Because they're doing everything they possibly can to try and save Ryback. Because they realized, oh crap, we made him completely ineffective. And we basically made him worthless based on what they did to him. So now it's like, okay, well, we have to give him some kind of relevance, especially if the rumors are true and Ryback and Brock Lesnar are going to go.
Right.
So it's like you have to do something to make Ryback look good. And to his credit, getting Show up for the Shell Shocked was very, very, very impressive. Props on Ryback for that. But
Big Show should have dominated a little bit more. He took too much of a beating if he's going to be the number one contender. There's a spot where it could have ended where he went for the Miho clothesline. Show could have grabbed him by the throat, and that should have been it. Chokeslam, big punch, been done with. But no, Ryback was then hit another clothesline, hit the Shell Shock, as Lindsay said. Big Show kicked out. He was going, you know, for it again, and ended up getting knocked out for the 1-2-3.
Yeah. This was a match, and I don't think this did either of them any favors. It certainly didn't help Ryback. It's like, yeah, you know, he can get Big Show up for the Shell Shock. That's really impressive, except for the fact that he still can't win the damn match.
Yeah, he got Mark Henry up, didn't win. Got Big Show up, didn't win. So, you know. So Big Show wins after the match. Randy Orton tries to jump him, got attacked with a spear from the Big Show. Then
which one hurt?
Yeah, that one hurt, and we'll get more into that in a second. Or a little bit in a bit. There's another segment to come with Randy Orton complaining. Then we go backstage. Zack Ryder's talking to the Florida Georgia Line.
Hey, look, he made it on Raw.
In walked the Rhinestone Cowboys.
Hey, you know what? I'm not going to complain. We got Drew McIntyre in a cowboy hat.
It was the Rhinestone Cowboys.
Again, not complaining. Not in the least.
There you go. As we came back from break, Randy Orton was shown, you know, this time in anger, throwing ice around, demanding where the shield, you know, why didn't they help, where was the authority? So, he was complaining and he wanted to be left all by himself. Then we get the real Americans taking on Kofi Kingston and The Miz. The match was fine. Kofi reaching for the hot tag. He's going. Miz reaching for the tag. Pulls back. Coming closer. Pulls back more. Makes the tag. No, he jumps off the apron and laughs in Kofi's face. The Miz turn. Patriot lock on Kofi Kingston. Kofi taps out. Miz turns heel. The real Americans win.
I'm just going to say it. Good call.
Good call. Miz needs to be a heel.
Totally. He completely needs to be a heel. By the way, a side note for Kane Kittens, yes. The Rhinestone Cowboys was 3MB, and I'm going to get into it a little bit later when they actually have their match.
So yes, the Miz turned heel. I like the move. It's a good move for the Miz. He was lacking as a babyface. And now he can be the cocky person that he is as a heel.
Yeah, Miz has always been a better heel than a face. There's something about his personality. He doesn't connect as well as a face. He doesn't have that good guy
no, he's
persona.
Always, no, he doesn't.
So it's something of, he's always been a better heel. And it's like, you kind of, every time they turn him face, you just sort of scratch your head and you wonder what they're thinking, because it's like every time they try to turn him face, which isn't that often, He can't really pull it off that well. It's like, he's such a fantastic heel because he's such a smartass. It's like, just let the dude be a heel.
And that's what they're doing here, which is good. As we go to break, Vicky Guerrero's going, help! And Vicky falls down in front of the trainer's room. She was unconscious.
Because, you know, that's totally not a play on what happened to AJ Lee at all.
No, this wasn't. As we came back from break, she was on a stretcher. Stephanie McMahon said, she said, Vicky appears to be dehydrated and she needs help. But the doctor said her blood pressure is normal and her pulse is fine. Stephanie said she needs to be taken to a local facility, and you see Vicky's face just, yay, smiles. But that will be after she faces AJ Lee. And then Vicky she got up, started screaming, and they pushed her to the ring on the stretcher.
Which was genius. I laughed the entire time.
Mm-hmm. She was fighting and complaining the entire time. Then we get AJ Lee coming out, and then Vicky was pretending to fight with AJ in the ring. You know, now they're totally making it obvious that they're, you know, making fun of the incident. Vicky needed water because she was dehydrated. The referee tried to keep it straight face, but he really couldn't. She took a sip of water, left the ring, ran into Tamina, fainted again. And then she starts to walk away, and AJ starts to skip up to Vicky and bring her back to the ring.
Yeah, that was amazing, because, like, somebody gifted it. And she's like a homing pigeon, man. She just, like, skips up. And then just grabs Vicky by the head.
Yeah. So, they get in the ring, and she puts her right into the Black Widow. And Vicky, as JBL said she's slapping her ass.
Yeah, she was. She really was.
Yeah. So AJ wins, and it's basically a lesson to the talent. Don't have a health scare on the tour. Because WWE will mock you for it.
They seem to like to mock her for a lot of things, but I think it's more...
She had fun with it.
She had fun with it. I think they were totally like, hey, you know, we need something. We need something for Vicky. Hey, let's use AJ's health scare as a, you know, as something for Vicky to use because Vicky's facing AJ. And one thing I really actually liked about this segment, aside from them wheeling Vicky out on the gurney, which needs to be an entrance in WWE 2K15,
mm-hmm.
I second that motion, whoever put that out in the universe, was the fact that JBL, I think, actually referenced the storyline from last summer where Vicky got AJ fired.
Yeah, they brought up the history.
They brought up the history where it's like, wait, what? Did they just do that?
Yeah,
seriously?
They brought up the history. They had a feud, and then, you know, I think it was Cole said, you know, she took over for AJ after she got fired as the managing supervisor. So then we have backstage Hunter's with Ziggler and Sandel, and books them into a Broadway brawl, whatever it is. He doesn't even know what that means, but said told him to make it interesting, make it entertaining, and make some music out there.
This was when the writing staff threw up their hand and said, we got nothing.
We had musical instruments in the ring, Ziggler versus Sandel. This was a fun brawl.
This was a really fun match. Because they got into it. Because they used the instruments. It wasn't that typical type of brawl where it's like you pull stuff from under the ring. And you maybe get one or two weapons. You had all the musical instruments in the ring, and they used pretty much all of them.
Yeah, we had drum shots. We had guitar shots. We had Sandel in a drum. He got hit with a snare drum. There was a cello involved, a fiddle.
A stand-up bass.
We had Ziggler do the Jeff Jarrett strut.
And then smack Sandow in the head with the guitar.
Yeah, and then there was another line. You know, all that's left is the Road Dogg singing for him. And just because it's country night, and there was a couple Jeff Jarrett references, including, you know, he did mention Jeff Jarrett by name. He said Double J. For those who don't know how to spell, here's a little lesson.
Howdy, folks. Double J here again. That's J-E, double F, J-A, double R-E, double T.
There you go. That's how you spell Jeff Jarrett, ladies and gentlemen.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm just kind of curious if that was intentional by Dolph, or if that wasn't a little shot fired. In a certain company that is based in Nashville and owned by Mr. Jeff Jarrett, in part.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, a little bit. JBL was trying to get more Jeff Jarrett references into the show, but I think he got his mic cut. Because he was trying to set one up, but he was cut right off the second time.
Yeah, I don't think they like that too much.
No, they didn't. Alright, Kinkins, really? Do you really need the song? It was not on Raw, just so you know. But do I really need to play it for you? Would that make you happy, Kinkins?
I say you play it as we go out tonight.
I had a good song. Alright, fine. I'll play it as we go out tonight, then. Fine. Ziggler won, by the way. So there you go. Because, anyway, the song he wants played is called With My Baby Tonight, so it's a song he sings to Tony Romo at night.
Oh!
Boom! Anyway, we have Randy Orton pissed off backstage. He barged into the office and, you know, he basically said, was that a sick joke out there? Then asked on air stuff if they had his confidence as the face of WWE. Stephanie said they were just talking about it and said, well, they need to think about it. And Orton was not happy.
Their faith was wavering.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to mention Kinkins. Don't bring things up if you don't expect a shot taken your way. I'm just pointing that one out.
By the way, I forgot to add in the last segment where Randy had a mad, and he's basically, you know, like, where were the Shield? Where were the, you know, where was the authority? I'm all alone, all by myself. Dude, you walked out there to cheap shot the Big Show. Shield ain't going to have your back. Neither is the authority if you do that. You got to tell them what you're going to do if you want them to be there.
Right. So now, out came Superman John Cena with his arm in a sling. Showed footage of him getting beat up, and he had watched it a bunch over the week. He had to watch it, you know, over and over again. Well, if you really didn't want to watch it over and over again, you should have just turned to something else. Cena said he was, you know, that puts him in a bad mood for 3 days, so he appreciated the crowd's excitement tonight. Cena said it's energy in the WWE Universe that just makes him want to come back from injury because he wants to be here in front of the crowd, but maybe he came back too soon, sitting here with his arm in the sling. He was standing, but he said sitting. He said trying to be some sort of superhero made him think maybe he shouldn't be world champion. But then he looks around and says, damn right I should be world heavyweight champion. Cena said Del Rio doesn't know who he's stepping in the ring with in 6 days. He noted he is performing in his hometown on Sunday in front of his mother, his father, his friends, his family, his brothers, and, yeah, all that fun stuff. Cena says pain is temporary, his pride is forever, so in 6 days he will hold up the title and say it loud, proud, and clear, the champ is here. Out came Del Rio, saying he had an amazing speech. We have a real superhero in the house, Del Rio said. Del Rio said Cena is so good he almost made him cry. Cena responded that on Sunday he's going to make Del Rio tap. Del Rio sort of was laughing that off and then told Cena to show the audience that he can hold up the title using his left arm. Cena responded that all that matters is he'll be able to do it on Sunday. Del Rio said he will be ready to be humiliated and embarrassed in front of his family, his mommy, and his poppy. He said a real champion takes advantage of every opportunity and that's what he's going to do right now. But before he can, Cena said, you know, said a real champion does take advantage of every opportunity, and then Cena pulled off the sling, went after Del Rio, went for an AA, Del Rio escaped, and Cena held up the belt as we went to break.
This was a good segment. It wasn't a great segment.
It wasn't a blowaway segment, but it was effective.
It was definitely effective. I think part of it was they were trying to create empathy for Cena, and they just sort of failed, because it's like, from everything I was seeing, it's like, dude, you came back too early. I don't have any sympathy for that. You did this to yourself. You know, it's one thing if, you know, John Cena came back after 6 months and Del Rio messed his arm up again. That's one thing you can empathize with that, because, yeah, that sucks. But, like, you know, to come back after 2 months when you told everybody on TV 4 to 6, it's like, you know, and you rehurt yourself because you came back too soon. I'm sorry. I can't empathize with that.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, it's like, it's in my hometown, you know, and you hear Superman playing in the background, you know, in front of my family and my friends. Notice he didn't mention Nikki, just pointing that out.
She's family?
He didn't mention her, though. He's going to be in his hometown, you know, with his mom and his dad and his brothers and their families.
Why are you trying to start stuff?
Just putting it out. They've technically acknowledged it in the past. They acknowledge it on Total Divas. You know, it's like, you would think John Cena would, you know, his main squeeze would want to dedicate it to, you know, to the lovely Miss Nikki Bella, but apparently not.
Apparently not, no.
I noticed some things. But, yeah, it was effective, it worked, it put heat on the match, but it's like, yeah, Cena's in his hometown, he's gonna be in front of his family. Yeah, he's going over. You know, it's just, yeah, it's just like, you could hear the Superman music from here, so it's like, it did what it needed to do, plus, as much as I want to like Del Rio...
You just can't.
I just can't. Like, he's trying, I can tell he's trying... But honestly, Del Rio was the best heel when he came out with the cars, he had the personal ring announcer and Ricardo Rodriguez, you know, and he flaunted his wealth. You know, he's just an asshole. And he just flaunted his wealth, and he flaunted who he was, and he didn't care, and it's like, you know, now he's Mr. Mexico, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like, it's just not working for me.
I would totally agree with you. It's just not working. We were told next week's special guest host on Monday Night Raw, former NFL superstar Michael Strahan.
Yay.
They're in New York. It makes sense. Means they'll get publicity on Live with Kelly and Michael.
There you go.
That's what you can do. Buzz for pay-per-view and buzz for the appearance. Up next. No, we're not back to Raw host now. It's just a one-time thing. People, don't overreact. Don't overreact. Anyway, up next, the Rhinestone Cowboys, Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre with Heath Slater, took on R-Truth and the debuting Xavier Woods. Go.
I actually really like what they're doing with three-man band. I know a lot of people don't like it. It's like, they did the Union Jacks last week.
And that was funny.
Even though I'm sure it killed Drew and Ginger to... Jinder to do it.
Okay, Eva.
Sorry, I've been seeing the quotes all day. But, you know, it's like, I like that they're actually giving variety to the gimmick. I like that, you know, it's like, you know, when they were in Europe, they were the Union Jacks. when they were in Nashville, they're the Rhinestone Cowboys. So it's like, it's, I like that they're making references. Obviously, they're not going to do it every week, but it actually puts something interesting into the gimmick. Where it's not just like, hey, we're a crappy rock band. It's like, we're a crappy Rhinestone Cowboy rock band.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's, I don't know why, but I just, I really like that they're actually adding to the gimmick.
Yeah. The joke throughout the match was, so that's Xavier Woods. JBL, you know, wasn't sure who he was.
Yes, we also had the debut of Mr. Morphin Time, Xavier Woods.
And he got out, it's Morphin Time on TV.
I was so proud.
And he hit, I don't remember what they called his finishing move, so sorry if anyone knows it, please tell me. But he hit his finisher for the win. Xavier Woods wins his first match, and they danced and celebrated afterwards. So, looks like R-Truth and Xavier Woods, the honor roll. Thank you, Mace. Will be a featured tag team on Raw and SmackDown and Main Event and all the fun other shows. It's a good move. I like the fact that they're teaming up. They both fit together.
Yeah, I like it. I like the combination. It gives R-Truth something to do, and also with Xavier coming up, you know, he's going to go under somebody's wing, so even though Xavier's perfectly confident and he knows what he's doing, I like that they put him with Truth. Truth can definitely walk him through and get him settled. And I also like that they did Xavier's debut in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to mention that.
You don't know who Xavier Woods is, and I'm going to go totally Wojcik on everybody, sorry. Xavier actually used to work a lot in the Nashville indie scene as Consequences Creed. He worked for TNA for a while as Consequences Creed, and he's a really fantastic performer, and so it's really nice that he kind of got to debut on Monday Night Raw, really kind of in where, I wouldn't say he got a start, but maybe. But at least where he used to work quite a lot, where he's really very well known.
Right, it was a good debut, nice spot for the debut. So, there you go. And no, you're not getting a movie reference, Kinkins. Nice try, though. Nice try. Backstage in the Authority office, Triple H and Seth McMahon told Radio Rant that they've been thinking, Stephanie said, that there will be no Shield, and there will be no help on Sunday, but they do believe and have confidence in Radio Rant. Hunter said they expect Rant to prove why he should be the face of WWE by winning by himself. Orton was mad, calmed down a little bit, and then he said, I'll show you confidence.
You can tell that their faith is lacking in Orton. And so we're going to have to see if Orton can actually get it done against Show. I would actually like to see the consequences of what happens if Randy Orton can't get the job done.
Right.
Because then it's a whole new issue of, oh, hey, look, Big Show's now your WWE champion. What do you do?
We'll see what happens on Sunday.
We will.
What was the name again of the group? Florida Georgia Line. They performed.
Yeah, Florida Georgia Line.
They performed their hit song "Round Here," which was, they were trending on Twitter during the performance. No shocker there. For a performance on television, pretty good performance.
Oh yeah, they're a good band. They're overplayed right now, but they're a really good band. So it was a nice performance.
And the crowd was actually into it.
It's Nashville.
I know. That's a good spot to do music. Just pointing that one out. So we now get the setup for our main event. Out came Daniel Bryan. Out came CM Punk. They were over. We went to break. The Usos and the Rhodes came to the ring. Out came the Shield for the Shield-iversary. And then out came the Wyatts.
Yay.
Any comments you want to make about their entrance before we get to the actual match?
Oh god, that was spooky as crap! Like, no, it's dark. You know, it's obviously it's dark. You know, that's the Wyatt's entrance. But you don't see either Rowan or Harper. You just see Bray, because the way that they were shooting in, or the way he was holding the lantern, possibly both, you could kind of see Rowan a little bit, but you didn't see Harper. So it's like they're walking. It's dark, and then somebody took a picture, mm-hmm. and then bam, there's Harper right there. It's like, holy crap. Just, I don't know why. It was just, like, really freaky for a minute. Because it's like, oh, there he is.
So then we had this match. And the basis of this match is, can the Shield and the Wyatts actually get along? They kind of, sort of, did.
At the sass before the match was nothing short of epic.
Talk about it.
You had them arguing, you had them getting in each other's faces, you had Dean being the smartass that he was. I kept kind of praying, hoping, wishing, wanting Bray to backhand Dean, even though I love him to death. I wanted to see Bray backhand Dean so bad to run in his mouth. But yeah, they were trying to get along, and they were trying to get along, and then eventually they did actually get along.
There was a spot during the match where Bray was trying to separate his boys from the Shield, and Bray was just laughing as he was doing it. It's like, why is Bray laughing?
I think that's his defense mechanism.
It might be. There were hard tags. You had everyone trying to, you know, get in line a little bit. Bray got in the ring. He basically said, you should follow me. Basically, is what he was trying to point out to them as he was dominating Daniel Bryan at one point. And then it all broke loose. There was a spot as we went to break where Bryan was about to make a tag, and out came, you know, everybody, and they knocked all the good guys off the apron, which was, finally, they're actually working together. For, like, one and only time.
Maybe.
And then Punk got the hot tag. Everyone took a beating. Bray stood there and went, I'm not getting it out.
Yeah, I love how, like, everybody gets their butt kicked, and Bray just really quietly sinks down next to the ring post, and he's, like, just squatting down, watching Punk do this, hanging onto the ring post. He's like, I'm not here right now.
Mm-hmm. Punk goes for the GTS on Ambrose. Wyatt came in the ring, was like, oh. He's looking at me, uh-oh. Charges, misses, then got kicked in the head.
You tried, Bray. You tried. I'm so proud.
Bray tried. He really, really tried. Then it was all hell breaking loose. The Usos got involved. Then there's splash on the outside. You had Goldust in the ring. He took a shot from... he took the spear from... He broke up a pin. Then took a spear from Reigns. Cody Rhodes hit Crossroads on Reigns. Turnbuckle bomb to Cody by Rollins. We had the heart attack on... by the Beard and the Best onto Rollins, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And that took him out of the picture. Punk then nailed the GTS on Ambrose for the victory. Team Punk picks up the victory. Really good match. Really fun, exciting. Could have been on pay-per-view, but that's a different story.
My only complaint about this match, and this is just my personal preference, is that they were talking about before the match started, can the Wyatts and the Shield work together? Because they actually recapped what happened last week on Raw in London, where they showed the brawl between the Wyatts and the Shield. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen them tease that a little bit more. I would have liked to have seen that tension get built just in like a handful of segments. Like, you know, it's like Randy's backstage talking to the Shield.
Right.
And Randy walks off, and the Shield, they turn around, and there's the Wyatts right there. And you start to build that tension throughout the night, where they're screwing with each other, and then it's like, well, can they get along, or can't they?
Right.
And then it's like, when you actually have that disturbing moment of the Wyatts and the Shield semi-trusting each other, at least for the span of the match, then it's that much bigger.
Right.
Like, that was the thing. Like, when that moment happened where the Shield and the Wyatts started working together, everybody, like, the announcers were like, oh, God. What just happened? Because it was funny when the match started, you know, the Wyatts were on their side of the turnbuckle, the Shield was on their side of the turnbuckle, and they weren't mixing. And then it's like, as the match progressed, obviously they started mixing with each other. Mm-hmm. And they started trusting each other. So it's like, it was nice. The match was really good. You know, everybody was complaining it wasn't on pay-per-view. Honestly, I think it would have maybe got a little lost on the pay-per-view. But that's just me. I think it could have been better with a little bit more proper build.
Could have.
So, like, that's the thing. If it actually had, like, a nice build to it, it could have been really, really, really good. But it was very solid, very enjoyable. Well done to everybody.
After the match, the real American jumped the ring, and we have a brawl there with everybody. And then out to make the save is Rey Mysterio.
No offense to Rey, but yeah, you've got a ring full of tall, burly men, and what do? You send out a midget. Just pointing that out.
Rey Mysterio tried to run through the ring.
Emphasis on tried.
Tried. He cleared some of the heels out of the way, hit a double 619 on Harper and Swagger. Harper then ate a GTS and a running knee. And Rey Mysterio was back. And they all did yes, 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 yes chants as we went off the air. So, Rey Mysterio is back.
Yay?
Didn't we have a conversation? Was it last time we had a conversation about Rey Mysterio?
Wasn't he not coming back till like 2014 or something?
I guess it's 2014. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. I mean, and no offense, Ray, not Bray. Damn it, Wyatt, get out of my head.
Never happened.
Never happened. Ray is definitely needed. They need a little more sharp. He's missed. They can definitely utilize him. I would be curious to see how long he can stay healthy. Just based on the way he was moving, kind of like, I don't know.
You can tell they needed somebody for this tag match, and they needed a baby face, and Rey Mysterio was a nice surprise. It's a nice surprise. It was a nice little twist adding Rey to the match.
It's really wrong. And that's the only thing, is it's just like, you're really not expecting it, which
is good. Hold on. You're breaking up a little bit.
I'm breaking up.
Yeah, your connection went eek to crap.
Well, sorry.
I know, that's why I was trying not you. You know.
Am I better now?
Well, for the moment, okay, not great.
Oh my god! You're such a stickler.
No, you were saying you were. Every third word was being heard.
That's
exactly, yeah. That sort of thing. That's why I was stopping you from going.
Am I better now?
Yeah, you're better now.
Anyway, it was just unexpected, which is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing, because it's like you've just had this really fantastic match, and you've got this brawl between everybody, and, you know, it's basically, it's because this is the go-home for Survivor Series, so it's like you're having this massive brawl. They're trying to do anything to get the five-man relevant. And yeah, so they have the real Americans come out there, and then it's like, hey, have a Rey Mysterio.
Here's a random Rey Mysterio for you.
Yeah, so it's like, they could have actually saved Rey for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, they could have, but they also probably wanted people to buy, but they know this pay-per-view is lacking, so let's put Rey Mysterio in the ring, hopefully some people buy it.
I don't know. It felt like it kind of got lost in the shuffle. Like, they could have done more for Rey. They could have done a bigger return, because he's been gone for forever.
Well, no, he's only been gone for a month if you watch last month's pay-per-view. He was a commentator. But yeah,
that doesn't count.
Yeah, he's been out of the ring for a while. He returned to the ring in Mexico, and said he still needed more time. Apparently that's been rushed.
Yeah, it's something of... Because he's been out since at least Mania, before Mania?
He didn't work Mania, did he?
No, he didn't work Mania. Did he work Rumble?
Apparently he worked the Rumble and then was gone. He was trying to do something with Sin Cara, and then that kind of fizzled out because they both got hurt. And then Ray was just been trying to come back once in a while, but never really worked.
Yeah, because then he got suspended, and then he asked for more time off, and then he's been gone. So he's been gone for almost a year, give or take.
At the very least.
10 months, something like that. Yeah. So I mean, he's been gone a long time. So it's like, yeah, you had him as a commentator at the last pay per view, but it's like nobody expects him to be there. You could have done a build up to a big return.
Right.
And it's just like, for somebody that's been gone for that long, they actually deserve, you know, that build up to a big return, as to, you know, opposed to John Cena, who got a huge return after being gone for 2 months.
Mysterio returned on January 27th. Return is the key word at the Royal Rumble. Then did a match on SmackDown where Sin Cara and Mysterio defeated the team Hell No. And then in March, he left again with a knee injury. So there you go. So it's been a while, and even in 2012 he was gone for a while, so. It's been, because he got suspended in 2011 for wellness, and yeah, all the. It's been a while. He missed a year, then was back for a little bit, and then he was gone for almost another year. So he's been gone two of the last 3 years. Sort of like a Christian fella.
And that dead man guy.
Yeah, but we know when that dead man guy, you know, shows up.
Oh, yes, we definitely know when that dead man guy is going to show up, and he's coming. 2 more months. And, you know, Taker Claus comes back.
So there you have it. This was for a gimmick show. This was not a bad show. They did the best they could with it, and again, so we've been noting for a while that they were on tour for 2 weeks. They were tired. So like a 12-man tag was the perfect main event because they all really didn't have to work much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you could tell, like, the people that have been really, really working the tour were given fairly easy nights. Like, AJ had a really easy night.
Orton had a really easy night. The guys in the 12-man, they really didn't do much.
No, it's like, this Raw could have been a lot worse, and this was actually not a bad Raw. It wasn't a good, overly good Raw, but it wasn't bad. It was enjoyable. It was entertaining, and that's the point. It's just, they basically said, okay, here's the rest of, you know, the Survivor Series undercard, you know, right here.
Yeah.
Bam! There you go!
Bam.
There's your undercard.
Bam! In your face. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's basically like everybody just kind of threw up their hands on this show, and they're probably going to do the same thing on SmackDown, because it's like, we want a week off. Because they're not working any shows after SmackDown. Until Sunday. So it's like, we just want days off. That's all we want.
They all want to sleep in their beds.
Pretty much, yeah.
So there you go. That's been another edition of the Raw Post Show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, Lindsay. The Rack.
It is The Rack. We're going to be talking all about Survivor Series, previewing all the matches that got announced. So stay tuned for Pick'em and all that fun stuff. We'll break down everything, give you our highs, our lows, our goods, our bads, all that fun stuff. We're also going to be talking about Thursday's Impact for TNA. We've got news, we've got notes, we've got discussions, we've got question of the night. Sorry no interviews this week, but, you know, we're doing our best. We may or may not have something awesome in the works, but you'll just have to see for that. But if you missed them, check out our interviews with Ariana Andrews and Chris Jericho. They are up on RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com for your listening pleasure.
Friday afternoon, check out Total Divas Extra, The Rack Extra, rather. As we review Total Divas episode number 11. Friday night, 9 p.m. will be WTR Games Garage Mace going through WWE 2K14. Saturday Night Midnight Edition, see me rated with myself, Rob Park, Subway, and Ace, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Sunday, it is WTR Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio Live, 11 p.m. Eastern, Jordan Mason, Omega, myself, and Lindsay this week as we will be reviewing WWE Survivor Series. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTRProductions.net. Or WrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show. Go for it.
Oh, I'm supposed to go for it. You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, if you click on the link for Contact Us, there is a link to my Redbubble store where you can buy my artworks. Go check that out because, yes, support the starving artists. That would be awesome. And also check out CassieRiley.net, RackRadioShow.com, The Rack, Thursday Nights, and all the other fine programming on this network.
You've been listening to the Raw Post Show right here live on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by PWManAndMillionPromo.com. For Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack right here for the Raw Post Show next Monday night. See ya, everybody. Good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.